everybody. This is Jake Stenzel, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barber. Gino, how's it going?
You got the memo. We're wearing blue today, my friend, huh?
Looking good, Gino.
Stenzi, real quick, I want everyone to write this down because this is the theme of today's podcast. And I think after you listen to the podcast and you start doing your own critical thinking and reasoning, it'll start making sense. The quality of your mind leads to the quality of your decisions, which will ultimately lead to the quality of your life. And one more thing, Stenziano, invite conflict with respect. It's okay to argue, but let's do it respectfully. For instance, inflation helps the middle class and it hurts the wealthy. My first thought is, what idiot would say that? But if I go in with that and I'm inviting conflict with disrespect, let's learn how to invite conflict with respect, whether it's with your spouse. Man, I fight a lot with the spouse. I try to do it respectfully. We try to do things respectfully because we don't want to put people in alarm and we want to disarm those emotions. So I went on a little long, Jake, but I think those two are really important. Quality of the mind, quality of decisions, quality of life.
Be humble enough to understand that you may be wrong at times. It'll absolutely definitely open your mind. So, all right, today's guest is the author of Restoring Reason. He helps aspiring scholars properly pursue a self-taught education in critical thinking. I love the way that sounds. He does this in order to take responsibility and ownership of their minds. So without further ado, Dr. Travis Corcoran, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks, Gino. I appreciate you guys having me.
Hey, it is our pleasure. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I feel like philosophers may be a dying breed. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would love to hear your path in becoming a philosopher.
Yeah, I kind of stumbled upon it. I went to university initially studying biology with a minor in philosophy, thinking, oh, this kind of sounds interesting. It was quickly after like two or three courses, I just switched. I went from majoring to philosophy and with the minor in biology because I was entering into the health sciences, wanted to become a doctor. So, and then philosophy just became the main focus. It was very difficult for my parents to understand that, of course, because they don't know a lot of philosophers that are just
pulling. Who's the famous philosopher right now? Do we have one? Do we have a philosopher that everyone, it's a household name right now? And I think it's sad because I don't know of one.
No, that's really, we don't have, it's funny that with our cell phones and everything, we live in this age of information, which I have some skepticism about. It's great that we have all this information, but I've been saying for a long time, information is not power. It's what you understand is what empowers you, which would be the second liberal art that I discuss in the book. If you want influence, however, like power outside of yourself, then that third liberal art, how you communicate in rhetoric, like what you guys do with your podcast, you guys, beyond the knowledge and understanding you have, you communicate it well. And so you have, you guys have quite a bit of influence.
Dr. T, we've got a lot to cover in this podcast. Jake, I hope you want to buckle up because the book is amazing. I want to hold up the book for everybody on YouTube. Restoring Reason. And there's so many things I want to get into as far as the trivium, the five institutions. Knowledge, you said, is not power. Knowledge is a statement about reality. Write that down, everybody. It's education times action equals power. You need to do something with that knowledge. It's not power. That's what we're getting confused about. Persuasion techniques. I like the word talismanic words, the core values for trivium. I'm throwing it all out there because I want people to really understand how deep the book is. And once you read this, you're going to have a revelation and say, all this stuff that's been going on around me, I'm really getting emotional about it, but am I really thinking about it logically? So my first question is, what are the enemies of logic?
Well, I'm glad you like that part. That's how I approached it. What I would say, why I wrote about those five, legacy media, academia, mm-hmm. big government, big tech, just to name a few, is kind of like what Jake was saying. Where are the contemporary philosophers? I don't know any famous philosophers, right? Mm-hmm. It looks like critical thinking has been murdered. Like everything is just like appeal to emotion. That's all I hear on the news. Fear,
so scary. Anxiety,
right? And that makes me easy to control because it activates the sympathetic stress system where I should be in parasympathetic and I can think clearly. But we're in such this survival mode, like an emotional survival, mm-hmm. that critical thinking has absolutely been murdered. So I looked at it kind of like a murder case. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, here's the victim, intellect or critical thinking. And I wanted to know, well, who are the suspects, right? And just like a detective would, you're looking for means, motive, and opportunity. And that's what led me to those five big institutions that you can read about in the book.
I love that. Let me rate those big institutions. They're tech, they're government, they're media, academia, and big corporations. Now, this is a really important question for everybody. Everyone listen to this question because it's really important because we all go through it. emotions get manipulated. What is the role of emotions?
And this is a, I'm glad you asked this, because normally I have to address it at the end of like a talk or presentation or workshop. People get the impression, because I'm always talking about logic and critical thinking, that I have no regard for emotion. Mm-hmm. Emotions are very important, but it doesn't serve the same function as thinking. Emotions are automatic and reactive. I like to compare them to, say, the dashboard in your car. Yeah, emotions are the real-time reaction, automatic, right? Real-time indicator of your relationship with the current circumstances. Just like in my car, the speedometer, the oil light, the engine temperature, RPMs, those are real life indicators of the car's current circumstances. And I'd be a fool to ignore those, of course, but I'd even be a bigger fool if I allowed them to determine where the car is going, the decisions about the car. That's not their function, mm-hmm. right? And so thought is some that is active. Thought and critical thinking, that is active. It requires intellectual rigor, where emotions, that's not the role of emotions isn't to determine the truth. It's just to give us an indication of where we stand right now with everything.
So let me say this to you, because I love this. Don't ignore them. Just don't let them rule you, correct? You should always take the emotion in. I'm excited to be on this podcast. My emotions are high, as Jake can probably tell. I got ready for this podcast because I really wanted to be on, but it didn't allow me to take over the critical thinking that I needed to do the work. I'm just not going to show up, be happy and be excited. I need to do the work, and I need to critically think about the questions I'm going to ask and how this podcast is going to go. So I think we all need emotions, but don't let them rule upon. If you want to expand upon that, I think that's really important, that the emotions thing is just drags you down. I think higher emotions leads to greater thought and the greater I think access for me wanting to do something. Lower emotions, what I call a catabolic lower energy, really drags you, whether you're a victim or you're angry. Those kind of emotions can be negative, and if taken over time, they will deplete you. They will lead to sickness. Yeah. They will lead to inflammation and all that. So we need to worry about what types of emotions as well. Don't you agree?
I agree 100%. In fact, the way you said that was quite brilliant, Gino, because you said you get sick if you're in those emotions too long. And that's how they are. They become like anger, frustration. Those, like when you're angry, you are afraid. There's this like boost of energy and adrenaline, and people can become addicted to that, just like they do to harmful substances. And over time, that will also make you sick, just like you were saying.
Why do people think that their emotions entitle them to anything? Because I think that's part of the current culture, and maybe you can help unpack that, because I don't really understand where this narcissism is coming from, that people, you know, if you and the word triggered, you know, the word triggered literally triggers me thinking about the fact that, you know, people think they're entitled to something based on an emotion. And maybe you can unpack that.
Wow, man, Jake, you just asked the $100 million question. This is something that, like, the last like couple months I've been thinking about a lot lately, because of the way the world is right now. Everyone is entitled based on their emotions, not on objective reality, but based on how they feel. And this will also lead into what Gino was talking about earlier as well. The reason you don't want to be ruled by emotions, because there are multiple emotions, but there's only one voice of reason. So if you want control of your life, you better put that voice of reason on the throne and not have this chaotic, like all these emotions running your life, right? Because emotions shift and change, just like the tide. You know, if, like how you feel about me today can change in 5 minutes, can change in 5 years. How you feel right now is definitely going to change when you wake up in the morning. Who you love, what you like, what your passions are, things change, emotions change, they're supposed to. And that's why it is ridiculous to build anything like a business or an investment or anything on emotions. If you want them sustainable and stable, you should be making those decisions with that voice of reason. So that leads us to what Jake is talking about. You want to unpack, this is why I think it is the way it is in the world today, is that people are in almost absolute denial that there's an objective reality. And there's a word for this. It's called solipsism. But this was all rooted in something that started back at least to the 50s, probably maybe sooner. I don't know. This is just how far I've looked. Called postmodernism. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's a philosophical paradigm that denies there's an objective reality. And when there's no objective reality, and by the way, these people contradict themselves by even discussing if a postmodernist, someone who denies objective reality, first, they'll tell you, like, all words are subjective, because to them, everything is subjective. So if
words are just tools to them to a means to an end. But anyways, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Words to them have no meaning, or it can change, or that's not what I meant. But if there's no such thing as objective reality, then I always challenge them, hey, go to the tallest building you can. jump off and just change your perspective that you can fly. And I assure you that you'll meet objective reality real quick when you hit the ground. In fact, we cannot speak over this incredible podcast, over the technology we have, without 1 + 1 = 2, without digital, like I, one.
You just said A is A, Gino. We just became best friends.
Yeah, but the identity principle, Jake, I like that. A equals A. A is not B, right?
So Dr. T, talk about that. I love the story in the book that you have about your rock climbing with your friend, and all of a sudden you have core values, and your core values don't align with her, and my truth is your truth, and subjective versus objective. Let's dive into that a little bit, because it's very, very important, because I believe in certain things. I believe there's man and there's woman. I don't believe in any, that's my reality. I think that is the truth. I don't know. People are going to say, well, that's your truth and you're hating. I'm not hating on anybody. That's just what I believe. Right. And that's what it seems like it's been the truth to me, right? I mean, when they always talk about science, they always cherry pick science, whether it's climate or whether it's gender or whether it's vaccines that are supposed to stop the spread, but they don't stop. Yeah. So are they truly a vaccine? Let's get down to the truth. That's why emotions, as you can see, I'm getting triggered right now. As Jake would say, I can control my emotions because I understand. I'm going to write a book that says, I told you so. That's the next title of my book. It's going to say, I told you so for the last 2 years. This has been what it has been, what it has been. But this is very important, everybody. What is subjective truth versus objective truth? And that's how we start answering and trying not to get triggered, because there's a stimulus and a response. We as humans can be stimulated. We have the ability to respond in a certain way. 20 years ago, I didn't have that ability that I do now. It's called wisdom. It's called experience. And it's called what truths that I have that I know are true. They're not subjective, they're objective. Like if I'm going to jump off a building, I'm going to die. That's not subjective, that's objective. There's other truths. 1 + 1 = 2. So could you dive into that a little bit, please?
Yeah, definitely. You've hit on a big thing, right? The objectivity, when you don't accept it, this is why you see today that people, the science is always, for them, the science is, it's settled at one point, but then the next day their science contradicts it. And they have no issue and no recourse that like, oh, the science is now contradictory. Oh, well, just move along.
Yes.
With no concessions from the, like those that presented the false science, right? Mm-hmm. And what you said, like you believe there are two sexes or two genders. I don't think that's a belief. I think that's knowledge and understanding. If it was a belief, then it's more religious. You just know that there are two genders, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're following the actual science or knowledge, that's how it is. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get into the truth is an objective concept. Belief, perceptions, opinions, ideas, those are subjective, right? There are subjective elements in our mind, in our world that we can share. I can share with you my opinion, and I can put a possessive pronoun before that. My opinion, your perspective, your beliefs. But when we talk about the truth, what you guys talk about being triggered, here's my trigger. When someone says my truth, speak your truth. When you're putting a possessive pronoun before truth, then you do not understand what that concept
is. Changing the meaning of words at that point.
Exactly. Which a postmodernist will do.
Yes.
However, they're consistently contradicting themselves, because if everything is subjective, well, then why are you engaging in discussion? Because your words can just mean whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And also, most of those people that are so, I'll say a little bit fluffy and spiritually extreme. I mean, we all have a spiritual aspect, but they are so far, I think you know what I mean, like very postmodernist, that everything is subjective. The whole world is based on my perception. If that's the case, those are the same people that talk about holism. However, they deny objectivity and only accept subjectivity. That's not very holistic. They also preach about ignore the negative. Everything's positive. Okay, then why are you, if everything's subjective, then why don't you just change your perception that what I'm saying is in agreement with you? Yeah, just change. Your whole world is an illusion. Just change the illusion then.
Mm-hmm. Just put on the virtual reality goggles and just, you know, chill in the pod, right? Yeah, exactly. I think everybody that claims to be a postmodernist needs to take a summer off and go with a contractor and work on building a building and apply their logic to constructing a building, and their dreams will tumble upon them, and they will change their philosophy, hopefully, because it doesn't apply to the rational world. I think that would be the ultimate challenge.
Yeah. Just does not conform to reality. And I like that you brought up a building, because I tell these, if I get into the discussion with these people, I said, listen, this house that you're in right now, all of it is based on objective reality. It's constructed according to physical laws, natural laws that you cannot violate. And if you did, if they were subjective and just change willy-nilly, this whole thing would come tumbling in on you.
A postmodernist engineer is a contradiction.
Exactly.
So I'm going to ask one more question, Dr. T, on this, because I think to me that I'm being a little selfish. This is for me because I'm trying to understand the other side. When they discuss the genders, people cannot define what a man or what a woman is. They will skirt around it. Define to me what a woman is. They will not. They'll laugh at you. They'll belittle you. They will make insults upon you. But just tell me what your definition is, because they can't define it, because if they've defined it, I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's what it is. Do you agree with me on that? Is words are so important. Understand what the definition of words are. Let's define them so we can have a conversation. And yet they cannot define what the word woman is, for instance.
Yeah, quite simple. Adult female, right? What you said about defining words, that's how most of, this is my estimation, that 80% of arguments would go away if people just define their terms. One, like another great one, you look at like liberal and conservative.
Yes, I love that, bro.
As if they are opposites. That like I'm a liberal and a conservative. I'm very conservative with my healthcare choices, my investments. I'm conservative about like a lot of things. That doesn't mean I'm against freedom, which is what
liberal means.
Mean of or pertaining to liberty or freedom. Mm-hmm. Well, how are these two things opposed? That it's not that. It's a
shame. You need to keep getting to the root, though. You're playing surface ball right now. You need to keep chunking it down to the root. Where is this coming from? Who's doing it? And what are their motives?
And I would say those five culprits, those five accomplices that I mentioned in the book, they have the they have the motive, they have the means and the opportunity. They gain the most from this.
I don't want to gloss over that, Jake. That's really important. What Dr. T just said about liberal really is not, if they're freedom. Liberals today, or whatever the party is, they are anti-freedom. They are telling you to get mandates. They are telling you to do things, and they're pulling away your freedoms. So if you really understand what the true word really means, it doesn't mean what's going on today. So let's understand that, and can't call them anything else. I don't know what to call them. Communists, Marxists. That's basically what they're doing right now. Those are the actions when they're telling you, I'm mandating you to do something, and this is what you need to do. Or as in Canada's case, I'm going to freeze your bank accounts. You don't own that because—
Unbelievable, yeah.
And we're in the U.S. borders touching. So just be aware. And when you go into a conversation, understand what those words mean. We didn't even touch the trigger.
It wasn't very liberal. It wasn't a very liberal thing to do.
I would say what Jake was saying about the postmodernist engineer. It's like a contradiction, right? That's the same as like a liberal. Like they're basically authoritarians now. Mm-hmm. Like an authoritarian liberal.
It's just a contradiction in itself. Yes. Exactly. Check your premises. Yes.
Yeah. And the conservative, really the opposite of conservative is the extremist. Well, some people are very conservative of their choice. Some are extreme and radical. That's the opposite of, or conservative. The opposite of liberal is an authoritarian. And that's what these self-labeled liberals who aren't defining the terms or have no concern for it. They're 100% like totalitarianists.
Mm-hmm. We should jump into what the trivium is, the grammar, logic, rhetoric. We should have done it in the beginning and really set the stage, but we just went off on a couple of tangents, a little rock climbing, a little bit of truth, a little bit of building for modernists, jumping off buildings. Let's go into what the trivium is and how we can actually use the trivium to make decisions, to make that better quality of life that we're all striving for.
Yeah, again, very simple. This is why I wrote this book, because this is what I want to bring back to the world. I see that it's a bit toxic with emotion and very deficient in reason. So that's why I want to restore reason, the title of the book. So the trivium is just the first three of the seven classical liberal arts, which focus on the quality of mind. And the first one, these were originally called knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. But then as academia starts to develop in schools, then it became grammar, logic, and wisdom. But you can just think of it as input, processing, output. So that first liberal art is an accumulation of knowledge, either empirically or rationally. You're just building up a database, right? And your children, I mean, they're doing that the first 7 years of their life. They are on autopilot, just consuming knowledge, identifying terms, and structuring statements. Once they get to the age between 7 and 9, they start asking questions. Why is the sky blue? They begin to question this whole Santa Claus myth. They want answers. Now they have such a sufficient amount of information. Now they can begin this exploratory, I want to understand. They desire to understand some of this knowledge, right? So they ask questions. And then they begin to, like what Jake was saying, they form premises. Check your premises. They begin practicing forming arguments, at least two premises and a conclusion. Right? Are these deductive or inductive arguments? We don't really teach this in school, unfortunately, but it just happens naturally for the children anyway. I'd recommend a book for you guys on this too. And then at some point, if you have teenagers, you know that another 7 years later, as they turn about 14, 15, they're in high school, they're a sophomore, you know, the wise fool. Now they already got the sufficient knowledge base. They've questioned and their understanding is also developing. Now they're at the rhetoric phase or the output, or they want to share or communicate.
All you know enough to be dangerous.
Exactly. And it's a frustrating time for parents from what I hear, that like now that they have this knowledge and understanding, they know more than the parents. The problem is they're now sharing it, which can be frustrating, I think. Those are the three arts, trivium, another Latin term, like via those three, vium.
Love that. How can the ancient liberal arts help with business and work? I mean, you've become super successful. You've grown your businesses. How do you implement them in your business and your work?
Well, it's almost so simple. Like the people that, if your mind is clear and you're a master of your emotions, it's going to happen almost automatically. However, you can cultivate and nurture these skills too. But it's very simple. Like I gave the example of you guys. What you're doing, and like I said before I came on this podcast, I just went and checked it out for a degree to come on here. And I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going on here. These guys are like the illustration of exactly what the practice or expression of the trivium is. You guys have an extensive, correct knowledge of your field, and you have a true understanding, right? And you have a podcast, and you're both very well spoken, right? So that it's brought you success, and it's the same thing for me. If I was led, or you guys were led by your emotions, then you certainly wouldn't be where you are today. And in fact, if you were to think back that the times that you did make decisions based on emotions, or you're ruled by emotions, there was likely some regret after, or you would have done things differently in retrospect, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. However, at the same time, there are those emotions that I can tell listening to Gino for sure, but like before we jumped on and during this podcast, passion, that is a driver. And I have a strong passion about my purpose in life. And every day I wake up, some days are tough, but I know what I'm passionate about. It gets me up, and it's what motivates me to make good decisions, right? Not all emotion is like distracting. Some of it's very motivating. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the other ones that we talked about, like you mentioned, that can, if you hold on to them, they're not constructive. They can make you sick. Some people get addicted to anger. They get addicted to being afraid, being the victim, or the emotional outrage, because the adrenaline and all this, like the hormones that come with it, despite the damage that occurs, they get really addicted to the energy that it provides. They are not in balance.
You know, hang on a second, because I didn't really want to jump in here with it, but I think for myself, one thing that I really struggled with, if you look at all of the issues throughout time, you know, Mao, Stalin, all these Hitlers, if you go through time and the greatest, you know, evils that this world has seen, there's a philosophical issue. And the thing I struggled with most trying to understand it was how much these totalitarians desire control over others and to lead through force. And it's very interesting to see that what you're calling, you know, liberal, someone that maybe, you know, I want to take care of the environment, I want to do this, can get caught up in that crowd. But when choice and freedom from others does not go along with what they want, and sometimes it can slip, then the totalitarian steps in and rules by force. And yeah. When force becomes what is ruling at the end of the day, those people that had the best intentions can get swept into the totalitarian camp. And then you see things that happen, like you see with Stalin, Hitler, yada, yada, you know, just plug in the name of murderer, you know, that stepped in. And I think that that's always the thing that we need to be careful about, because you also mentioned, you know, knowledge isn't power, and we're in the age of information. I think there's an argument to be made that information is actually shrinking. And I think what's being made available to folks is being controlled and manipulated. So we need to be aware of that as well. So yeah. I just didn't want to, I thought this was a good time to bring that up. And I would just love to hear your thoughts on it, because for the longest time, I couldn't believe that people were this overtaken by the desire for power and control over others. I believe that that is the root evil of the world. And when people that are willing to do anything to control others by force. That if we can get away from that as people, yeah. I think the world completely changes when people are able to make a choice and not be ruled over others and mandated and controlled and forced to do things. But there's a certain faction of people that end up in power that can do this. And that's when shit gets really bad. I was just surprised that people, it's basically like Schmeagol in the Lord of the Rings. He sees it, my precious. They covet it so much. And then when they get it, you better just hope that you're not in their path.
Yeah. And they'd cut anyone's throat to get to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What are your thoughts on that though? Because like I struggled for the longest time and, you know, I've thought about this stuff a lot. I'm just like, how could anyone be that possessed with the idea of power? But it's stronger than money. Is it an emotion? I think it's the strongest driving force for some of these people that really go sideways.
Man, I agree. And I don't think you're the only one that's been, especially in this, our culture today, you're not the only one thinking about this. It reminds me of this, you know, when I grew up, but a big popular movie was Arnold Schwarzenegger did this Conan movie.
Yeah.
And James Earl Jones played the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like it was like a snake cult or something.
And no, it was Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, the barbarian, he's very strong and he wields a sword and he just cuts people down. And James Earl Jones says to him, he goes, yeah, that's funny. You think that that's power. I'll show you what power is. And he calls up one of his acolytes or servants or followers, like these just, yeah, brain dead followers.
Yes.
Just orders them, jump. And they jumped off. He goes, that's power. He goes, I control other people. Like, people follow what I say.
Yeah.
And that was profound for me. And so that leads the questions, like I, like everyone has these same questions you do. How does that happen? How does someone surrender the sovereignty of their mind and allow someone else to control it? And it even tell like Conan O'Brien or any person that studies warfare or martial arts or whatever, they turn their body into a weapon, maybe even for self-defense. However, if you can't defend your mind, then a clever person can gain access to it. And all that you've built with your powerful body and your deadly moves and or sniper skills, whatever, you're just a tool. That whole body that you've trained
becomes
a tool for the person that did the real work. The one that knows how to, that manages their mind, probably from a, to answer your question, these tyrants, probably from a place of deep, deep insecurity. That's why they need to rule over others to give this profound safety feeling that they'll never get because they just live in denial of natural law. Mm-hmm. But the reason it works so well over those, let's say the zealots, is same weapon they've always been using. Appeal to emotion. Appeal to emotion, because emotion is automatic. Like even someone, I could study logic my whole life and I love studying logic and critical, but emotions are automatic. It is a reaction, but I can manage.
But it's the path of least resistance to control others. Yeah,
exactly. And the best we can do is manage it and really cultivate and nurture.
And critical thinking is the alternative, which is hard work, takes extreme responsibility and self-care and self-education. So for someone that, you know, it may be the path of least resistance for the non-thinker, if you will, and then the totalitarian to control the non-thinker by appealing to their emotions.
Yeah, 100%. And I, in a way, is as bad or as grim as things seem in the world right now, the silver lining is it has caused more people than I'd have ever considered to ask the questions that you're asking right now. Like, how could it be this way? How could it be this way? Although it is shocking and disappointing, though, that some people still haven't drawn those conclusions and answers, like what happened in Mao's China or Pol Pot's Cambodia, yeah. Hitler's Germany, Stalin's Russia. We can witness that in real time right now. Canada blew me away. What happened in Canada?
I was so blown away, but I still can't get my head around this. And I just want to say this before I lose this thought, then I want you to talk about Canada. I just want to make a plea to anyone that's out there listening to this, that if you're caught up in this as a potential pawn or somebody that is you know, a power seeking individual, it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, there's a better life, you know, and it may be a little bit more hard work through, you know, taking more responsibility and being 100% accountable for your outcomes. But the end results are bad. But yeah, please share your thoughts on the Canadian situation.
Well, can I follow up on what you're saying? Because
yes, please.
You're trying, you want to appeal to those people. And I wish more people would do that. right? I think they need to be acknowledged because the victims of this control are ultimately compassionate people. They do, they see an injustice and they want it corrected. Yes. The problem is because they're not engaging in critical thinking or applying the skills of reason, that they'll take any solution. And often the solution that's offered is won by one of the dictator types. You know, so they should take solace in the fact that, yes, you are a good person. However, signaling that with changing your Facebook profile does absolutely nothing. And if you want to be a good person, do that. You're not virtuous because you signal it. You're virtuous by being a person of virtue.
Let me give you a real-time example right now for folks that are really good at heart. There's a lot of people that want lower carbon emissions, and they have it's coming from, you know, their soul. They think it's good for humanity, whatever the reasons may be. And I don't mean whatever in a bad way, but they want a clean environment and they think, hey, electric cars are the way to do it, right? Let's just take this current situation. So they shut down American energy independence, and now we have a crisis in Ukraine that involves Russia. Okay. So other countries throughout the world are now producing oil and we're buying it. There's a strong argument to say that we'd be producing it cleaner than these other places and probably safer and cheaper, but that doesn't mean we still can't get to a place that is quote unquote greener. But shutting it down right now to simply purchase from other places before the technology is there and before we're prepared to do it is not responsible. And it's not someone from a logical, critical thought process. That's not where they're coming from. You can get there, but don't get there. And now we're in dire straits, and they're saying we're going to stop buying, you know, from Russia. We're talking to folks in Venezuela. There's issues there. Let's take a more rational approach, and maybe we can get there together. But don't just, hey, we're going to shut this down, and there's going to be negative results from it, or get to the point where that, you know, people are forcing and being totalitarian to get there. I think sometimes you need to be a little bit more patient, and it may not be immediate results. And people are seeking immediate gratification, using force on someone else to meet your personal demands of immediate gratification is sick.
Yeah.
You need to look inwards and realize if you're forcing someone else against their will to do something because you're getting immediate gratification, does that make you a good person? Are you really living a life of fulfillment that and you can look in the mirror and say, I did the right thing here.
Exactly. I would say it's a pathology of the mind, and it may not sound very, this doesn't sound very politically correct, I suppose, but if it's a pathology of the mind, a sickness, like as, and I would agree with you, it's a pathology of psychology. That's a psychopath, right? I want things my way. Mm-hmm. But again,
and I'm willing to force and hurt others to get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, based on my emotional commitment, my emotional conviction, not an understanding. And so that truly is a psychopath, that I'm going to force others with aggression and violence to see things or do things my way because of how I feel right now. And emotions, like we talked about, are transient. That emotion could change tomorrow.
That's and they get so emotionally invested that they almost can't get it back away from the thought because they've invested so much emotionally into it that there's no turning back.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Dr. T, you were going to talk about Canada. What did you want to mention about Canada? See, who's the passionate one now, bro? Bring it on.
Now, that killed me so much to think of what was going on when, how many times has America launched its soldiers or sent them overseas to rescue a country because they were being oppressed by a dictator that was doing horrific things to them? And then just to the north of them, people's bank accounts are being frozen. A single mom who gives $50 to these guys because she wants these mandates to end so she can get back to work, provide for her children. Mm-hmm. Just 50, like 50 Canadian dollars. Now her whole bank account shut down. People like innocent, like grandmothers being trampled by horses. Like what is going, where's the American political party? Where's all their pride in like stopping tyranny? Instead of like supporting it, that frightened me with Canada when not a single Western leader spoke out about what Trudeau did.
Well, they ultimately seems like they want to get there. So,
You know, because he's praised China before because of this dictatorship, and they can get to places quicker without having to get the support of the people. So they're talking out of both sides of their mouths, and I think to Gino's point, there's you know, maybe they desire that for themselves and don't want to be challenged. Because think about it. When you challenge whoever's in power, that's a hurdle for them. They don't want that. They don't want to engage you in the arena of debate and have critical thought. It's just an impediment to this point to domination and control. So
yeah, anyone opposed to that narrative, it's handled the same way every time. If I don't go along with the current narrative,
I'm a fill in the blank. We're going to create a name or a label for you and then put that on you.
Yeah. And avoid any debate or discussion with that person.
Yeah.
You just label them and dismiss them. And if you can, if you can't compete with their arguments with reason, you cancel them or censor them. Censorship is the ultimate admission of defeat. Your argument is not strong enough. So you just cut their tongue out, right?
Love that. Last question before we go to short answers, and this is important, the persuasion techniques. In the beginning of the pandemic, we actually had people putting arrows in supermarkets so we can go down the aisle one way. And people were yelling at my wife and me for going down. We actually had plexiglass in front of us to think that would help. We actually were wearing cloth masks and touching ourselves. And we were persuaded to do that.
For the folks on YouTube, he's rubbing his nose when he says touching himself.
I'm just saying. I'm not that passionate, bro. Come on. But think about those. Like, you look back now and we laugh. Some people may still believe, because that's their virtue. That's their belief system. They can't let that go. But think about that. There's arrows on the floor and you have to go one way. This is airborne virus. It gets so the logic with that is give me a break. But we're persuaded.
Get in line and shut your mouth. You know, that was the message that was being sent.
And you're talking about dictators and tyrants, guys. We're talking about local representatives. We're talking about governors. We're not talking about people. They just crave and love the
power. They know what's best for you.
But they've done the persuasion technique. So let's talk about agreeing to diffuse emotion, mirroring, and listening. They're very good at that. And then using these talismanic words like hope, change, progress, build back better, climate catastrophe, emergency, equity. Everything's equity nowadays, right? All these talismanic and evil words, understand them, what they are. They're words to elicit that emotion. Don't get emotional about them. Tell me, how are you going to build back better? Tell me about hope and change. What does that mean, hope and change? That's the problem. You're not defining what it is. It's just a catch-all. So they're
elicit an emotional response.
Yes.
That's why I call them talismanic words. I'm glad you picked up on that, Gino, because a lot of people, when they read it, they like that too, because they never really thought about that. Like, a lot of people are just hypnotized by Obama. He was the master of those. Also, he's also a master of rhetorical fallacies as well. And the difference between a politician and a scholar is ashamed. Like, when that was a fallacy. They look to correct that. Right? Because they want to speak correctly. They want to use the right words, define their terms, make sure their argument is no formal fallacies as well. But a politician, they use fallacies on purpose to leverage you, right? Appeal to authority, the experts say. And you notice when you watch the news, what experts? They don't tell you who those experts are. Expert sources tell us this. Who? Yeah, and we just follow along. What experts? And also, like the talismanic words you said, hope, change. Hope for what? Progress. Towards what? Build back better. Build what better? So the listener fills in.
If you're not behind it, you're evil. Just know that. That's all you got to know. If you don't support it, you're a villain. That's the message.
100%, man. And this discrimination about in these supermarkets with the lines and stuff, there was one time through the whole, like, these last 2 years where I really I struggled a bit, because climbing that's my sport. I love it. I do it twice a week. And then when the gym would no longer allow me in due to my health status, which by the way, I haven't seen a medical doctor for any medication in the last, let's say, since 1998, I have not seen a medical doctor for a single medication. I'm very healthy. I've always been healthy, but because I don't have the jibby jab, I'm not allowed to my client where I go twice a week. I supported them through the first lockdown, kept my membership up. But then the moment the government here says they don't mandate it, but they tell the businesses to mandate it, which is like this plausible deniability. The government says, oh, we're not discriminating. However, now this business is discriminating because they fear consequences from the government.
Yes.
If I were to ask any of those employees, just like if you were to ask any employees that work with these Aero supermarkets, ask them 4 years ago, hey man, what do you think about discrimination? Oh, it's horrible. It's one of the worst. I would never discriminate. Discrimination is a bad thing. It's evil. Here we are. People are rationalizing, justifying, and actively discriminating.
Discrimination is hot right now. What are you talking about? Discrimination is in 2022. It is hot.
Well, they don't know it. They don't know it. That's the problem. If they knew it, then they'd be like, they would be horrified. But it's not discrimination to them because it doesn't fit their narrative. That's why this podcast is so important.
Well, and the people they're discriminating against is the enemy. So it's a good thing.
Yes.
That's how they justify it, Jake.
That's right.
That's how we're trying to restore reason. Anyway, let's go to the short answers, Jake.
All right, guys, let's take a quick time out here from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now. All right, so we're going to piggyback off this conversation a little bit, because here's a fear that I have. I personally believe that philosophy is very important, and I think it should be taught, and I think people should spend time thinking, understand critical thinking. The issue that we have right now is that governments are essentially putting us into boxes, labels, what have you. So if you say have a specific philosophy and say I align with this, it's actually just fulfilling their narrative of divide and conquer, essentially. So how do we promote philosophy without dividing one another and you know, having swords at each other's throat because he's a that and I'm a this? Yeah. Because that's essentially what has happened. And to me, it's a trap, and we got to find a way out of it.
Yeah, Jake, I agree 100%. That's why I wrote this book. I'd love to restore reason to politics, to business. I'd love to restore reason to relationships, health, or even just restore reason to a discussion. Like that, that's all I'm looking for. So how do we, encourage, motivate, stimulate, inspire people to get back to philosophy? That's why I wrote this book. I want to inspire them. I could write like a thick book like this on logic, although I don't want to, because it's going to hit no one. This book was, I specifically tried to make it very apolitical and not trigger anyone, hot word right now, but philosophy, the etymology of the word is love of wisdom. Like, mm-hmm. So I can talk about love of wisdom and why you should love wisdom, but people just don't care. And wisdom defined as the expression of knowledge and understanding. Like, who doesn't love knowledge and understanding to be expressed, especially when the knowledge is correct and the understanding is true? I love that. Who doesn't love that? In our hearts, everyone, I think, is a philosopher. However, what's a lot of the books that I read and I like and I would recommend, they're very dry. They're not very sexy.
Tell me one of them.
This one right here. This isn't like, I mean, this by Sister Miriam Joseph, the Trivium. Sister Miriam Joseph, yeah.
Yeah, sister, go rock it, baby. I like it.
And then the other one is probably, which I was talking about earlier, by Dorothy Sayers, The Lost Tools of Learning. And she goes into more depth about how we naturally go through those three phases, like knowledge, understanding, wisdom, or how the children do. She talks about it at the natural level, at the base level for the child. So when I wrote my book, I didn't want it to be this dry, like school text. And that's also why, after describing briefly what the Trivium is, dismissing, I think I wrote like 15 myths of these like self-help gurus and stuff.
Yes.
That at the end, I want to demonstrate, like, so you have some real life value. Why is philosophy important? Why is critical thinking important? Why you might want to take an interest in this? Because it can dramatically impact your health, your relationships, your business, and our political situation. I didn't know if I was going to put politics in there, but it has so much influence over our lives right now. Because like Jake is referring to, we don't really have leaders anymore. We have rulers. It's if I'm not free
with a marketing campaign, with a marketing campaign, yes,
a very effective one. And if I'm not free, here's how you know the difference. If I'm not free to stop following you, if there's consequences to no longer following you, you're a ruler. Leaders, they're just there first. And there's plenty of there's people that follow me. There's people that I follow. There's nothing wrong with being a follower, but I have a big problem with being a subject or a slave to a ruler. And a ruler doesn't want you to leave. They're dependent upon you. Leaders, they barely checking on you. Leaders are just moving forward. That's why we follow them, right? They're brave. They're courageous. They're secure with themselves. But a ruler is insecure. They need you, and they will use force to keep you. Those are some of the distinguishing characteristics between those two.
I love that.
And that's why I thought, man, I have to put politics in there too.
How do we open folks' eyes up to the fact that force and censorship are evil? Because it's the scariest thing that I've seen in 2021 and 2022 is that these things are becoming acceptable for the emergency or the moment. How do we get folks out of this? Because that's going to be our downfall if we accept this crap.
Yeah. Complacency and compliance. These are the things that are destroying us. Complacency and compliance, because we can't defend our own minds. The manipulation is so effective because we have allowed our ability to think clearly just atrophy. Right. And look at this is why I really love that you homeschool your kids, Gino, because one of the worst perpetrators is academia right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a crime to even call it an education. It's not education, it's school. You go to school and get schooled. You don't get an education from the Latin educere to draw out. Nothing's being drawn out, right? And if you look at like John Taylor Gatto, I don't know, you're probably familiar with him, Gino. Mm-hmm. John Taylor Gatto, he's an interesting guy. Unfortunately, he's passed. I love what he says about the elite, like their education, because they get an education, right? And their education is quite simple. They read, they write, and they debate. They read because they're acquiring knowledge. Read. Knowledge. Write. Logic. You have to form your conclusions, your premise, conclusion, form your arguments. You have to slowly and deliberately, you're practicing that skill, the second liberal art. And then you debate. How effectively do you bring across that knowledge and that understanding? So they read, they write, and they debate. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom, or grammar, logic, rhetoric. And after they're done reading, writing, and debating, what do? Read, write, and debate more. And again, and again, and again. And that's why they stay in the positions they are. And they don't want your children to learn that. They don't want you to learn that. And I don't know if I mentioned it in the book.
They want them working for them.
Right. And to look more into that, he talks about it too. But the Prussian model of schooling and what the captains of industry did with the Prussians did it for one reason, to have allegiance to the state. And then later it just got improved upon. And I'm using that term improved loosely. It became more effective to meet the means of the captains of industry, not just loyalty to the state, but then just an effective working class that doesn't ask questions.
Dr. Corker, I think it was after World War One in 1919, around there, they had the kids who were working in factories. It was dangerous. So they pulled them out of the factories and made them go to school. But what it did is it made them great employees. It made them great. So by the time they're 18, the state is actually, educating these children. And it's not, remember the word again, educare is to draw out. You're not drawing out anything. You're putting in. You're doing the exact opposite. So there's another thing. So just remember words. When you don't understand what a word is, go look what the root is supposed to mean. So they put these kids into school and these kids are out of the factories. But what happens when they're 18, they go right back into the factory programmed in, and they have no entrepreneurship. They have no critical thinking, and they become robots. And that's what the school has been for the last 70 or 80 years. And ironically enough, in Germany, homeschooling is outlawed. It's forbidden. It's illegal. Yeah. So can you imagine that? You can't do it in Germany. Nope. We need your, all your kids to go to school. So right then and there, you're not being, you're not have that free choice, that autonomy to be able to teach your kids at home. You have to bring your kids, send your kids to school. So I'm not saying homeschooling is for everybody. It's just an option for people out there. It's very difficult. It's time consuming.
But why are you not comfortable enough to allow your people the freedom of choice?
Because I think Dr. Corcoran, he answered that. That's not the model. The Prussian model was to.
I just want everyone listening, when someone is trying to take away your freedom of choice or rule you by force, take a step back and really try to unpack that, understand it, and understand what the motives are, and if they truly have your best interests at heart. That 20-second statement right there could change a lot of lives. That's all. Just going to leave it there.
I love how I say this to people too. It's exactly what you're saying. If someone tells me, don't read that book, don't listen to that speaker, what I hear is you think you're telling me how to think, or that you're smarter than me, or you're just being dismissive of my ability to make the judgment of myself of what I can read, what I can understand, who I should listen to. Always be skeptical of who is removing your choices or wants to control your choices. Don't listen to that person. Don't read that book. Don't watch that documentary.
Man. Okay. Last question, because we're just going to go on and on forever here. Best way for folks to get a hold of you, where can they get the book? And then the G-Papa Funk is going to wrap us up here.
Right on. Okay. Thanks, guys. If you're interested in the book, just reach me at, just go to my website, actually, www.restoringreason.com. At restoringreason.com, you can get in touch with me. And also, if you're maybe skeptical about the book, you can download the first chapter for free, see what it's about. Gino can probably tell you that the first chapter is a good kind of overview of what you can expect from the book. So those who are interested, just go ahead and download the first chapter, no strings attached, first.
Take us home, G-Dad.
Jake, you a little tired? You a little worn out? You went through a little battle today. We really, really massaged those muscles of our mind. What I'd like really to say to everybody is, let's bring it back to what I said in the very beginning, right? The quality of the mind equals the quality of your decisions, which leads to the quality of your life. That's what it comes down to. That's what reading this book is all about. And listen, I'm an emotional person. I get triggered like everybody else, but I understand that I'm not making a decision solely based on that emotion. I'm getting passionate. I want to teach people. People of financial intelligence can change the world for the better. I get really pumped up about that. I use a higher emotion, but that's not the only way to make a decision. Dr. Corcoran, we were going to discuss long-termism. Long-termism plays a huge role in this. We're not in it for the short term. We're in this for the long term. So those decisions start compounding. You make bad decisions over time. You're eating that cheeseburger. You're drinking that beer. Keep doing that. Those decisions are going to harm you. I think it's really important. There's so much in the book that I really loved about it. We didn't get into mother culture. I wish we had gotten into mother culture. We talked about talismanic words. I wanted to get into the core values for the Trivium. There's so much stuff in this book. And I'm going to be honest, it's not a very difficult book to read. It's actually a pretty book, easy book to understand. I read it in a couple of days. I really enjoyed the book. And it made me think. And I think as you heard Jake throughout this podcast, it made him ponder. It made him bring back memories of what's going on here. And it makes you think logically. Take a look back at what we've done for the last 2 years. Assess what's gone right for you in your life, and what's gone wrong, where you've gone off the rails, and where you've stayed on the rails. And make a logical, rational assessment and use that to propel you into the future. Use the emotions, but don't let them overrule you. And once again, knowledge is not power, right? Education times action equals power.
Speak the truth. Gentlemen, it's been real. I really do appreciate everyone's time today. Thank you both so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. I enjoyed this so much. You guys are fantastic.